Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Nobody like it. We are continuing on our lesson in regards to the tabernacle. Would you all put the tabernacle up, please? The tabernacle is the heart and soul of the Torah. Almost everything that is said and talked about, in a sense, goes back to the tabernacle, the Mishkan, the residing place of Yahweh. And sometimes in the church, we think that the Old Testament is kind of like outdated and we don't need it. But I assure you, you can never authenticate the New Testament without the Old Testament. The Old Testament authenticates the New Testament. And so what I am trying to do is simply introduce you to the Old Testament by introducing you to the Torah, to the tabernacle, the Mishkan, where Yahweh is the first to preach the gospel. God preached the gospel in the tabernacle when he made the tabernacle. And it was so specific that he said to Moshe, don't change a thing. Build it exactly like I commanded you in the mountain. And so we have talked about the gate. The overall subject is one way to God. I know we have a myriad of religions, and everybody is going to heaven, and everybody knows God. But the Mishkan says there's only one way to God. And Yeshua said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And if anyone get in any other way, he or she is a robber and a thief. So the only door is Yeshua. And we entered in at the door, and we stopped at the brazen altar, a representative of the cross, the cruelty that was there, the sacrifice that was made, and we accept the sacrifice. We move on to the laver. Just the name of the laver indicates that there are two cups, one below and one above. And 1 Corinthians 10 said they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud. So there were two baptisms, one in the sea, in water, one in the cloud, in the Holy Spirit, that one had to go through. Then we did a lot of talk about what we were, the Mishkan and what was going on. And then we entered in. And I want us to show us that. This is not it. Oh, yes, it is. But it's not quite as clear as it was. There's something. Is this the exact picture that we had, or is this another? But something is wrong there. It is not quite as vivid as it was, I mean, but we'll deal with what we have to deal with. What we have here as we enter in, first of all, we're struck by the beauty of the place. The walls are overlaid with gold. The menorah, which the English Bible calls the candlestick, of course, there was no candles in that day. It was oil in that lampstand. We could call it the lampstand, and we'd be closer to the truth. So on the left was the golden lampstand with seven lamps burning. On the right is the table of shewbread. Hallelujah. Actually, that's kind of a misnomer. It is the lechem panim, the bread of presence. In other words, that bread was supposed to be on that table all the time. Amen. Once the priests ate it, they had to replenish the bread. Even when they were marching, the bread had to be on the table. And then before the veil, which entered into the most holy place, the place where the ark of the covenant and the mercy seat is, which represents heaven. And so we are all traveling toward heaven. Amen. Right? We came in at the gate, but the whole object is that we would enter into the most holy place. But it's blocked right now. Well, actually, not blocked right now. It was blocked. But the Bible said when Yeshua died, the veil in the temple was rent and twined from the top to the bottom. Yeshua opened the way. But we are here. This represents the church. Amen. The menorah, or the lampstand, light is the only light in the room. And it represents the Holy Spirit. And in the church, we walk in the light of the Spirit. Not in our own mind, not in what we think, but we are guided by the Holy Spirit. The light from the Holy Spirit, from the lampstand, reflecting off the golden wall like a spotlight, lit up the table of presence, the bread of presence. And this was the first piece of furniture that was made after the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was made. So here is where we will minister first. The goal represents deity. So when you get in the church, it's all about God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about the service to Yahweh. And I want us to think a little bit about when you say it's all about God, it doesn't work out that way in the church today. I'm sure you're aware of that. But how Yahweh looks at the church and how it is actually being executed today is two different things. But ultimately, the church will be what Yahweh wants it to be. Now, when you came in at the gate, you remember the gate? You left self at the gate. You were supposed to leave self at the gate. But now, and so when you hear the word from the New Testament, you might not know, if you don't know the Old Testament, you might not know what Yeshua is talking about and what the other writers of the New Testament is talking about. They are referring back to the Mishkan, back to the Torah. And look at Netanyahu 16. Yeshua is telling the disciples that he is going to go away. And of course, they were a little bit upset because of that. Because see, we think a certain way about, we're selfish about faith. But Yahweh has a plan, and Yahweh's not selfish. We know he's not selfish because he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But he said he was leaving, and so Kepha said to him, not so, Lord. Far be it from you. And he spoke to that. Because, see, Kepha was saying, you're not going to do this. This is something that we need you here. And so he spoke to him in the 23rd verse. But he turned and said unto Kepha. Now notice, I don't say Peter. And the reason I do that, I'm not going to buy into this that we have to use made up names. Now, I'm not going to buy into it. I'm just not going to do it. You know, we think, well, it said it here. Well, we know that this has changed in many of the ways. In fact, all the names of all of the disciples are changed. So I'm not buying into it. And if people don't understand, they get mad, it's okay. Let me tell you, some of the best has been mad at me. Because I don't compromise the word. But he turned, that's talking about Yeshua, turned and said unto Kepha, get thee behind me, Satan. See, anytime you are going against the word, you are being motivated by Satan, about at least an evil spirit. Remember that when you read the word and you say, well, I don't think I have to. Yes, you do. You have to do exactly what the word said. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of Yahweh or Elohim. You're not saying that be far from me because you are trying to do what God wants you to do. You're saying it because you want to do what you want to do. And he said, you're not wanting to do the things of Yahweh, but those that be of men. So when we look at the church today, most of what is happening in the church are things that be of men. Somebody said, well, you're not supposed to criticize. I'm not criticizing. I'm just simply stating a fact. It's the things of men. When you see churches getting so political that they back candidates who have no morality, then that church has bought into the things of men. We don't serve men. We don't serve a political party. We serve Yahweh in Mashiach Yeshua. That's who we serve. Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, if any man, and somebody said, woman, would come after me, let him or her deny themselves. And somebody said, well, I thought you said it was just what the word said. But now you're including women. So, but if I use man, or men, I'm using Adam. And if I use Adam, I'm talking about Adam and Eve, man and woman. Okay? If any man will come after me, a woman, will let him or her deny themselves and take up his or her cross and follow me. If you're going to come after me, it's all about me. Let me say that again. Yeshua said, if you're going to come after me, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's not about the things of men. It's all about me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I don't have the foggiest idea of why people want to hold on to the things they used to do before they got saved. I don't have the foggiest idea, because the mere fact we came to Yeshua was a statement that we are tired of what we are already doing. Would you believe that? So I don't understand this, how you want to keep on some of the things you want to hold on to when you was out in the world. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, I said when we was in the Mishkan that everything in this holy place, which is an example of the church, is made of gold. Gold represents deity. So Yeshua is talking about it being all about him. It's being all about God. That's what the Mishkan said. It is all about God when you get in there. And Yeshua said, except a man or a woman deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. For he that saves his life, you that hold on to some of the things of your old life, you're going to lose your life. Not only do you lose it, not going to heaven, but you lose the glorious life of the saint in the earth. This is a good life. This is the best life. Hallelujah. Serving God is the best life that a man or a woman can live. And if you're setting up holding on to the old life, you can't enjoy the new life. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. It ain't worth it. Somebody said, it ain't worth it. Let it go. 26 verse. For what is a man or a woman profited if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? Lose his or her soul. When this ends up and Yeshua comes and you're not ready, are you going to say that the things I held on to is still important? But what profit, my brothers and sisters, let it go. For what profit a man or woman if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? And lose his own soul. Or what shall a man or woman give in exchange for their soul? What is your soul worth? What is your life worth? Huh? Now, I know we kind of think we're going to get to heaven in these bodies. Some people do. You know, they're talking about they're going to see their dog when they get to heaven. The dog that died that they loved. I'm going to see my wife when I get there. Yeshua said, there ain't no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. And some of you don't want to see your wife or your husband. You had enough hell out of them out down here. Look, people, just, I know sometimes I say things that might not soothe the feelings, but stay with me. Now, are examples in the Bible that teaches us how we should feel about the old life and how we should feel about the new life. Let's look at Philippians 3. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Let it go. I'm begging you to let it go. And let's look at the 7th verse. Now, this is Apostle Shaul talking about how he feels about his salvation, how he feels about his former life. Now, here was a man that was highly educated, a man who had some position in the Ephraim or Yehudim court. He was a man well respected. In fact, he was so respected by the Sanhedrin that he was sent on a mission to root out this new thing called, it wasn't called Christian at the time, but that's more like Greek, but I guess they would call them, probably they would use the word related to Mashiach, and it would be Messians. I would suppose, would that be good? Okay. And he was to root out these folks, these heretics, they would call them, of the Hebrew, of the Yehudim faith. And, of course, most of you know the story. On his way to Yerushalayim, he was a light shined around him, and he fell to the earth. He was blinded. And someone spoke to him. The one that spoke to him said, Shaul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me? And Shaul said, who art thou, Lord? He spoke to him in the Ephraim or the Yehudim tongue. He said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute. His life changed. The man who was going to kill those who worship and receive Yeshua now is one of us. Hallelujah. God can save anybody. And I don't care what you have done. Forgiveness is for everybody. And not only was Shaul forgiven, he was elevated in the church to an apostle. And now he talks about the former life and how he views his life as a believer. And you could learn something from this. But what things, 7th verse of the 3rd chapter of Philippians, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Mashiach. Everything I thought I was, everything folks thought I was, I put it in the past for Yeshua. It's all about him now in my life. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. And this excellency simply means for that, how can I put it? For the, it has the idea in the Greek of over, to stand over, And it actually means for that, that is so much higher than what I am had in the past, that I count those things as loss because what I have is more higher, and that is the knowledge of Mashiach Yeshua. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the more profitable, let's put it that way, maybe you'll understand, of the knowledge of Yeshua, Mashiach Yeshua, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Stop. I have suffered the loss of all things. You got to give up everything. If this salvation is worth anything, it's worth everything. Huh? Sometimes you have to say to your husband, no. Sometimes you have to say to your wife, no. I can't do that. I'm a believer in Yeshua. My wife knew me so well, she would never say anything to me that would be adverse to my faith in him. Huh? Now, I'm going to take a detour just for a moment. I'm not going to go long down that path. But some of you men should take note. Because you're allowing your wife sometimes to hurt herself and hurt the family. Somebody said, "Now he going to his male chauvinist stuff." Well, if Adam had said no to Eve, we wouldn't be in the fix we're in today. So don't kind of accuse me of saying something out of line. All he had to do was say no.
She said, "You know, Satan over there telling me, come on here, listen. Telling me to eat this apple."
Well, of course we know it wasn't an apple. I don't know what it is. You know, some people claim they know what it is. I've studied this Bible inside out. And I don't know what it is. But I know one thing. It was something that Yahweh had forbade them to eat. That's the only important thing. That's the only important thing. So, it's given unto men who are the head of a household. I don't mean dictators. I'm not talking about dictators. I'm not talking about kicking your wife around. I'm not talking about hearing her in anything you do. But when the nitty get down to the gritty, and you know that what's about to happen, what she's telling you to do, is going to hurt you, hurt the family, and hurt her, you got to say no. I'm coming back to the road. I'm not getting the good looks that I was getting. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the ecstasy of the knowledge of Mashiach Yeshua, my Lord. And take that any way you want it. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Mashiach. I count them as refuge. I count them as bodily excrement. That's the best I can put it. I don't have any love for the things I used to be or the things I used to do. They are less than bodily excrement. I'm not holding on and feeling sorry that I had to give it up. I was happy to give it up. I was a prolific sinner. Everybody knew that Wilty Washington was a prolific sinner. I was the life of the party. I was down for every fight. And when I received Yeshua, one of my dear friends said to me, we used to run together and do things together, drink together, party together. He said, Will, anybody but you. I don't reverence and I don't love those things I did in the past. I gave it all up for Yeshua. Watch this. And be found in him. I just want to be what? Found in him. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the Torah, but that which is through the faith of Mashiach, the righteousness which is of Yahweh in faith. I'm going to need to buy out, because it's English. In faith. The only righteousness I want is the righteousness of Yahweh in faith. And the righteousness of Yahweh had nothing to do with my righteousness. I had none. But Yeshua imputed unto me his righteousness. So I have the righteousness of Yahweh in faith. Hallelujah. That I may, what? Y'all read with me? That I may what? My only desire. I want to know him. I just want to know him. And if you really want to effectively live out your Christian faith, your only desire should be to know him. I want to know him. Look at your name, say neighbor. I want to know him. I came in to this way, and all I've ever wanted was to know him. But I can't know him by osmosis. I say that again. I cannot know him by osmosis. It won't seep in through my skin. It takes work to know him. It takes time to know him. It takes study to know him. It takes walking in the Spirit to know him. That I may what? Know him and the power of his resurrection. Now this word know is Genosko. The idea is taking in knowledge. See, the only way you can know him is what? Through the process of taking in knowledge. If you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to study the Bible, you're not willing to be at your Bible class, you're not willing to do your Sunday school, you're not willing to come to church service, you're not willing to lay down that phone and stop looking at it while church service is going on. If you're not willing to stop talking to one another when the ministry of the word is going on. That I might what? Taking in information, knowledge about him. That's the way you do it. I've been saved nearly 50 years. And I can count on one hand the time when I've been absent from any service, except when I was on vacation. And I hurt this leg years ago, so I was out for that. I had to go in the hospital for something. But other than that, I have studied this word. And I recognize, after all these years, I've just scratched the surface. The more you know him, the more you want to know him. The closer you draw to him, the more you want to draw to him. Huh? That I may know him and the power of the resurrection. That I may know him and the what? Power, the dunamis, the inherent ability that raised him from the dead. Well, I do know him because he resurrected me from the dead. Now, wait a minute. I know you're thinking that I thought I died. But I was dead in trespasses and sin. And the power of the Holy Ghost brought new life to me. Brought new life to you. You know him in the power of the resurrection. And one day you'll know him in the power of the chain when he descends from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God. And that trumpet blows and the dead in Christ arise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last. We shall take off this old mortal and put on immortality. And the fellowship of his suffering. Yeah, I want to know him in his suffering. You know? And I prayed for that. And God gave me a touch of it. See, sometimes you can enter into a spiritual reality. You pray for God. God, I want to know you. I want everything. I want to know you in every area of your life. And that's what I did. I would pray, I want you to seep into my skin. I want you to get in my hair. I want you to get all over me. I want to just. You say, you prayed that? I sure did. I know it sounds stupid to some of you. But that was my prayer. One day I was doing a job, and whenever I did a job, my custom was that I get there real early, and I go down on my knees, and I went down on my knees to pray, and God stretched me out on the floor of this home. This lady gave me the key, and I went in to do some work for her. I was running a construction company, and I was praying. And I felt this searing pain hit my side. It's like somebody stabbed me. And the searing pain, and the Holy Ghost said, that's how he felt. I cried out in agony, and he said, that's how he felt. He gave me a touch of the suffering. Just a touch of the suffering. You say, I don't want to go that far. I'm going to show you something here. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means, see that? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. There's no place too far for me to go. Huh? If by what? Any means. Whatever it takes. How much it takes doesn't matter. Whatever it costs. enemy. I want to see him in glory. I want to see him in glory. So, go back to our tabernacle, to the holy place. Standing there, and see, I'm taking us in, right? I'm taking us in, because the only one we didn't hear was priest, but I'll talk about who you are in a minute. Standing here in this beauty, look, when you hear the writings of Tehillim, of David and Asaph and those guys, much of what they're talking about is this. Being here, you ought to thank God. You ought to be thankful. And it's not about what you want, but it's about what he wants. Look at Tehillim 116. You call it Psalms. I'm not... 116. And here should be our desire. What? Everybody see that? What shall I what? Render unto Yahweh for all his benefits toward me. You shouldn't be thinking about yourself, thinking about what you want. We got whole deals of churches that preach only what you can get out of God. Now, I'm not saying this, you know, you can't get something out of God, but that's not what you're there for. You're not there for what you can get. And when you're standing there in the presence of God, if you are who I hope you are, your thoughts should be, what shall I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? What can I give God for all that he has given me? And he's saying this with the thought that he don't have much that he can give. But he do have one thing he can give. 13th verse. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh. I will accept this cup. I will possess this cup of salvation. And I will call upon Yeshua. Now watch. You say what he said, Yahweh. I know, but he's Yeshua now in this church, in this time. In that time, they knew him as Yahweh. Now, I know people say they never knew him, but I beg to differ. They knew him by his name, but later on, after this dispersion and coming back again to Yerushalayim, somewhere in there, they got this idea that the name was too holy to speak. And so they placed something else there. Adonai, maybe. Adonai. And doing this over a period of years and years, only the priests knew But the people lost it. But now, Yahweh's bringing it back. See, you can't kill the truth. You can cover the truth. You can try to smear something over the truth. But the truth will rise again. Somewhere down the road, truth will raise up again in somebody's heart, in somebody's mind. You can't destroy the truth. They already did that. They killed him on the cross. They stabbed him with spears. They laid him in the grave. But 3 days later, hey, the truth rose again. And he was still the truth. Help me, somebody. This is too good to be true. This is too good to be true. But what shall I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefit toward me? I will possess the cup of salvation, meaning that I will take this salvation seriously. And I'll call in the name of Yahweh, and we in the name of Yeshua. I'll pay my vows. Look, I made some promises. Some of you made some promises. When you came to him, you said, God, I thank you. If you save me, I'm going to do everything you want me to do. I'm going to put down my drinking. I'm going to put down my whoremongering. I'm going to put down my drugs. I'm going to put down my lying and my thieving. You got to pay those vows. You got to keep those promises. Look, people. I know we're humans. And I know the drive of the human nature. I'm not insensitive to that because I'm human. And I know sometimes I've been taken to the brink. Yeah, I'm human. I've been taken to the brink. But as I stood on the prefaces, the Holy Spirit rose up and held up a standard. Hallelujah. Grabbed me and pulled me back from the prefaces. Because he knew my heart was to serve. So I'm not saying this lightly, like, you know, now that I'm 80, I'm years old, and I don't know the drive that used to be the drive, but I've driven before. And I'm not so sure I don't know nothing right now. What are you doing when you're 83? Are you dead? Well, somebody hopes so, but I will pay my vows unto Yahweh in the presence of all his people. Everybody will know I'm living right. Everybody will know I'm serving God. It's important, people. A few years ago, people talked about me really bad. You know, we had a little breakup here when I was the pastor. They said that was a hard taskmaster. You know, like, and they were telling all kind of tales. So one of the men I knew years ago in the church, I saw him. I didn't see him. Somebody told me to talk to him. And he said to them, so-and-so came and told me that Pastor Washington did this and that. He said, but I told him, you're lying. I know him. I know he wouldn't do that. You see what I'm trying to say? I hadn't seen this person in maybe 5 or 6 years. But I paid my vows in the presence of all his people. And they knew me. They knew me. Oh yeah, I suffered striving against sin. But the Bible says, you haven't suffered under blood. Yeshua suffered under blood, striving against sin. And when Israel was in one of her deepest straits, this is what Yeshayahu said to them. Yeshayahu 2. He said, oh, and you can leave O out. O is an English term. No Hebrew ever said O. House of Yaakov, come ye and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. He said, we've been going wrong. Come on, let's change. Let's walk in the light of Yahweh. Go back to the Mishkan. The only light in this place is the lampstand. Right? And this is the concept. Let's walk in the light of Yahweh. Now, in here, see, God has a different view of his church than we do. God has a view of his church being beautiful. His people being beautiful. In here, there's no division. There's no division here. There's no hate here. There's no rebellion here. There's no race of people here. Only here is the new creature, the new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Here is the family of Yahweh, called in the name of Yeshua. Everybody in that family's name is Yeshua. Read Galatians 3. Here, only people are here are those that Yahweh broke down the middle wall of partition between them. And he made in himself one new man. But I said the church is different from how God view it. God created a new genus. He created a new genus of the human family. Those who he birthed, as Yohanan would say, into the lineage of the sons and daughters of Yahweh. There's no race here. Oh yeah, in most churches they're race and folks are black and they're white and they're fighting each other and they hate each other. But here in the church of Yahweh, there is no race of people except one. And they are the sons and daughters of Yahweh. There is no black. There's no white. There's no brown. It's just the sons and daughters of Yahweh. And until, I know I'm only one of the few that preaches this, but this is Bible. This is Bible. If you read it, you will find out that what I am talking about is Bible. There's a new family, a new genus that is created in the earth. And that was created in Mashiach, Yeshua. And so the Bible would say, we knew Yeshua after the flesh, but we know him no more after the flesh. Until the church get to where God is, there's no hope for most people in the church. Last scripture, 1 Johannes 1. I'm not a wild-eyed kook. As some people count kookness. Do I have a word for it? 1:5. Let's do it 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Have you noticed how much trauma so-called saved people go through? Always got issues? There's a reason for that. This then differs. Is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that Yahweh, a God, is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Hate is darkness. Racial hatred, racial discrimination is darkness. And I'm not saying that because I want to be accepted. I'm saying it because it's true. There is no darkness at all. In the Mishkan, Yahweh demonstrates to us it's all about God. It's not about race. It's not about you. It's all about him. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you got hate in your heart, you got racial discrimination in your heart, you look at folks, black, white, brown, and you think that all of that makes a difference in the church, and you say you have fellowship with him, you're lying. I didn't say it, but Johannes said it. Johannes said you are lying and you do not know how to tell the truth. Well, that's what it equates to. And do not the truth. You don't know how to tell the truth. But if we walk in the light, let's go back to the Mishkan. If we just leave it right there, don't go back to the other. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua, Mashiach, his son, cleanses us of all sin. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light of the Holy Spirit, in the light of Yahweh's word, we'll have fellowship one with another. There'll be no difference in whether you are a white church, a black church, an Asian church, a Hispanic church. We'll have fellowship if we're all the children of God. We'll have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Yeshua will cleanse us. We'll take away all that stuff. Cleanse us from all sin. It's not talking about you sin, but what he's talking about, he'll begin to wash away these kind of things that is adverse to God. God is light. And then we can say, God is love. And he that loveth is born of God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God. It's just the truth. Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And we thank you for your spirit, for your word. We thank you that in the spirit you gave us power to be witnesses of you. And every one of us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit have no excuse that we are too weak to walk with you. Reveal the knowledge. Reveal the overwhelming knowledge of God that takes away all of the darkness from our lives. Wash away the trash. And leave us new creatures created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works. Let those that are here today, let your spirit minister mightily to them, revealing to them the hope of salvation, the hope of glory. That if they do not know you, they will come to enter into your presence. We thank you in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There may be somebody here today. You're not saved. You don't know him in a manner that you would like to know it. You heard the message?